All right, guys, you are locked on Falcons. I'm your host, Aaron Freeman, and today we are taking a look at the Falcons quarterback position, talking what position battles, what storylines we're going to be focused on heading into this 2018 training camp and preseason.
You are locked on Falcons, your daily podcast on the Atlanta Falcons, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, guys, you know me. I'm Aaron Freeman, founder of FalcFans.com, one of the longest-running Falcon websites on the Internet, on Twitter, at FalcFans, and, of course, the host of this illustrious Locked on Falcons podcast. Today's episode, we are touching upon the Falcons quarterback position. This is your official training camp preview, talking about the quarterback positions, talking about the position battles, talking about the storylines, the things to watch on. We're going to be talking about every single position on this roster, breaking it down. This is the in-depth, thorough analysis that you guys have been waiting for all summer long as we start to gear up for training camp. We're a little bit more than, 4 weeks out. So we're going to bring you, kick things off with the quarterback position, bring you position-by-position breakdowns over the next 2 to 3 weeks because there's different position groups and, we try to keep these podcasts short. It's going to take about 12 episodes to get through the entire roster. In addition to that, we'll be doing some NFC South and AFC North previews as well as fan talks. So it's going to be a very, very busy July as we get geared up for training camp. You guys, fortunately, will probably get a podcast probably 4 or 5 days a week until, I don't know. Probably till January, I guess. So, that's the plan. So enough preamble. Let's get into it. So when we talk about the quarterback position, obviously this is one of the positions that doesn't have a massive, massive issue heading into training camp. Matt Ryan's a starter. I don't think we need to watch Matt Ryan that closely in the preseason or in training camp. Obviously, if he plays well, that's positive. If he plays poorly, I don't know if there's too much you can glean from that. We've seen Matt Ryan have a pretty rough summer and then play great in the regular season. That happened in 2016. We saw him have a pretty good summer and then struggle in the regular season. That happened in 2015. So it's one of those things where I think too often you'll see people talking, trying to glean stuff from Matt Ryan's performances throughout the summer and the preseason and in practices and whatnot. And if he struggles and looks bad, you'll see some hot takes about, oh no, what if Matt Ryan and Sark aren't getting along or whatever the hot take is at that time. And if he looks sharp, it's going to be like, oh, equally hot takes where it's like, oh, Matt Ryan and Sark are now finally on the same page and he's going to light things up. I don't think you can tell any of that from the preseason really at all. I think you guys should take any takes that you see out there, including from yours truly, that suggest anything along those lines, take those with a grain of salt. We really won't know what Matt Ryan is this season until he steps foot on the field on Thursday night, September 6th, against the Eagles. Preseason, particularly for a starting quarterback that has a decade's worth of experience like Matt Ryan does, it's not that valuable. You're not really operating a complete game plan. Obviously, he's still trying to get on the same page with his offensive coordinator. There's no real game plan. So there's not really anything that you can look at in these games and be like, that's going to translate to the regular season, because very little of what they do in the preseason actually translates to, or it's a fraction of what they do in the preseason translates to the regular season. So that's going to be something that you're going to hear me say quite a bit on these upcoming previews as well. I think people too often look at the preseason in the wrong way, through the wrong lens. I think they see it as like a precursor to the regular season. I think that's not the way of looking at it. And, with over a decade of, monitoring the Falcons preseasons, the ups and downs, at least from my personal observation, preseason is somewhat meaningful for the individual player. But when you start to try to apply it to the groups of players or units of players or one side of the ball or the entire team, then it completely loses its meaning. And so it's like the example I would use, like if you have a player that comes along and has a pretty good preseason, that usually means he's going to be poised to have a regular season as an individual player. How good a regular season? Who knows at that point? And that all remains to be seen. But it's like, what you're watching for in the preseason is really the individual skills. And, you know, because it's not really about game planning, as I said before. So, for example, if you use an offensive lineman, you know, you're looking at the skills like how does he use his hands? How does he handle power? How does he handle speed? How is his footwork? And if you check all those boxes in the preseason, that's good. But guess what? Week one, if you're a Falcons offensive lineman, you're facing Fletcher Cox and Brandon Graham. And so that's a completely different animal than anything that you saw in the preseason. And then the following, you have Julius Peppers and Kawan Short. Then the week after that, Cam Jordan, Geno Atkins, Cam Hayward, Jerry McCoy, and so on and so forth. And the point is, how a guy plays in the regular season is going to be based entirely off how he performs against those players, because that determines how he performs. And the preseason isn't really going to tell you that. If you see Wes Schweitzer going up against Calais Campbell when we play the Jaguars and hold his own, that is a positive sign that, you know, it's, you know, it might be that when we play the Bengals and he's going up against Geno Atkins, he might be able to hold his own. But it's not a guarantee. And, you know, if he's losing out to Taven Bryan when we play the Jaguars, who's a talented player, but a green and undeveloped rookie, you know, that's probably not a good indicator that when he faces Gerald McCoy that he's going to do well. So you can look at the individual and say, okay, this might mean something, but not necessarily when people start to apply it. When you look at the quarterback situation, at least from my perspective, I think it's hard to look at traits for this position because so much of the position and what a quarterback is expected to do is tied to the play calling, the game plan, etc. And I think that's all stuff that's very limited in the preseason. I think for me, at least, when I'm looking at these quarterbacks during the preseason, I'm looking at anticipation. I'm looking at accuracy. I'm looking at how they handle pressure. I think these are things that you can sort of still show when you don't really have a game plan that's designed to start attacking and exploiting defensive coverages and attacking teams, your opponent. You know, I think you're really just looking at how well a guy executes. And so to wrap things up with Matt Ryan, you know, I think Matt Ryan does all those things very well. I think, you know, with even if he wasn't doing those things particularly well, with 170 starts under his belt, it's not, those things aren't really a concern for Matt Ryan. So it's one of the reasons why I don't think putting any stock into his preseason performance makes any sense, because it's not going to change. You know what Matt Ryan's anticipation is like. You know what his accuracy is like. You know how well he handles pressure. And maybe he's not good at those things, but again, we're now 170 starts into his career. It's not going to change all of a sudden. So I'm not paying much attention to Matt Ryan. And, you know, the last time I really was invested in how Matt Ryan performed in a preseason was like probably like 140, 150 starts ago. So, you know, I think, you know, when it comes to Matt Ryan and keeping an eye on him, I think he'll be put in a position to succeed or fail come the regular season, not during the summer. But let's move on and talk about the backup quarterback situation. But first, I want to plug LockedOnSports.com, the one-stop hub for all things Locked On Podcast Network, where you can find content related to NBA, NFL, and Major League Baseball. Again, that's LockedOnSports.com, your team every day. So let's talk about Matt Schaub. And, you know, and the funny thing is Matt Schaub is in a very similar boat as Matt Ryan, where it's like, you know, this guy has nearly 100 starts in this league. There isn't a whole lot that he needs to do or needs to prove in preseason. You know, we've seen Matt Schaub over the last two summers do a really good job executing what he's been asked to do. You know, he's basically a game manager. That's one of the things that, you know, that level of experience allows you to become a guy that's pretty good at managing games. You look at his production over the last two summers combined. He's completed 77% of his passes. His passer rating is 103. He hasn't turned the ball over. He's only taken two sacks on 50 dropbacks. You know, and I think there's a lot of hate towards Matt Schaub, I'm sorry. You know, they're so interchangeable. I confuse the two. I think, you know, if you're one of those people that like, Matt Schaub is overpaid, I agree 100% with you. Of course he's overpaid. But if you think that means he doesn't have value to this roster, I think, you know, I 100% disagree with you in that regard. I think in an ideal world, Matt Schaub would probably be making half or less as much as he's actually getting paid. But I still think Matt Schaub is one of the 5 to 7 best backup quarterbacks in the NFL right now. And I think if you disagree with that, I think you probably need to pay more attention to the rest of the league. You need to watch a little bit more football. But, you know, people act like he's in the category of this Charlie Whitehurst or Kellen Clemens type of backup quarterback that just holds a clipboard and somehow keeps getting jobs despite the fact that they're pretty awful. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say Matt Schaub is going to pull a Nick Foles and lead the Falcons to a Super Bowl victory. But if you're asking me, you know, there's only been, what, like three backup quarterbacks in NFL history to win a Super Bowl for their team? Doug Williams, Jeff Hostetler, and now Nick Foles? I could be missing a couple. And if you're asking me, you know, is Matt Schaub going to be the fourth guy? I'd be like, no, he's probably not going to be the fourth guy. But if you're asking me the odds of him being the fourth guy versus probably 25-plus other backups that are below him, I would definitely give Matt Schaub much more favorable odds than the vast majority of those other 25 or so guys. And so I think you're going to hear, I say all that as preamble, because I think you're going to hear from certain entities and people out there saying like Matt Schaub should be on the bubble and I don't know. And I'm like, no, you take that with another grain of salt. You know, there is a possibility that Schaub struggles this summer and looks bad. But again, I don't think that's a very strong possibility. I don't think this is a Chris Redmond situation where, you know, I know Redmond is a fan favorite among some of you, but basically what Chris Redmond did, he's had three good games as a starter in Atlanta in 07 and was able to turn that into 4 years as a backup behind Matt Ryan, but he wasn't really good. And, you know, he kind of got exposed as being more of that Charlie Whitehurst and Kellen Clemens guy the more time went on. Here in Atlanta, and eventually the Falcons had to move on and have sort of been trying to settle this backup quarterback position for the last couple of years until really they got Matt Schaub under fold. So, you know, I don't think Schaub is really going to be in danger. I think, you know, you will hear people pushing for Schaub to get cut. I think the only chance that I think there's like a 97% chance, 98% chance that he's a lock. You know, I wouldn't say he's 100% locked, but that 2% chance, that 3% chance that he does get cut is basically if he decides to come out here and turn the ball over five times, you know, which I don't think is, you know, when you start as many games and has been as effective as Matt Schaub, you're not out there trying to win a position. You're just out there, I'm just going to check it down. I'm going to complete the passes. I'm going to move the chains. If we have to punt, we have to punt. I'm not in any hurry to prove myself. So Matt Schaub should be just perfectly fine. It's really the other quarterbacks at this position competing for that number three spot that are going to be the guys to really watch this summer. I think the top two jobs are pretty much cemented, as I think, you know, anybody with a rational brain agrees with me on that one. But we'll talk about that number three quarterback battle in a second. But I do want to plug Nubias Wilborn's Locked On Braves podcast. If you happen to be a Braves fan or maybe you root for another Major League Baseball team, you can check out those shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So battling it out for that number three spot is going to be the undrafted rookie from Virginia, Kurt Benkert, as well as Garrett Grayson, the fourth-year quarterback that was a former draft pick of the Saints, I think, back in 2015. And spent last year with the Falcons on the practice squad. I do think Grayson's experience both over the last several years being a backup in New Orleans as well as having that year in the Falcons offense should give him a leg up in this competition, if we're being honest. I think it's one of the reasons why I'm not as convinced that Benkert is this, you know, shoe-in or this favorite to be the number three quarterback and to make the team as some people out there are suggesting. I do think the Falcons do think highly of Benkert. I do think he will have every opportunity to win this position, but all things being equal, I do think Grayson's experience should at least give him the edge in the competition, but obviously, you know, that's not a guarantee. You can be the more experienced player and struggle because you do have that pressure to try to win a job, because I don't know how many more opportunities is Garrett Grayson going to get if he doesn't manage to stick here in Atlanta. But, you know, you do know that the Falcons think highly of Benkert because they guaranteed a small portion of his base salary, about $50,000, which is not a significant amount, but it's significant for an undrafted rookie, but it's not really significant in any other capacity. You know, if the Falcons had kept, you know, they had Mr. Irrelevant pick, the last pick in the draft, if they had kept that pick, that guy would have gotten a $70,000 signing bonus. So he would have had $20,000 more in guaranteed money than what we, the Falcons, gave Binkert. So basically Binkert is, you know, the equivalent of like the pick 262 or something like that, in terms of his value, at least his money. So the point is that don't look at that and see like, oh, that means the Falcons are going to give Binkert a roster spot. Like $50,000 is nothing. You know, Arthur Blank basically, you know, wipes his butt with $50,000. but yeah, you know, sorry for the colorful, image, but, I do think, you know, you could make an argument that Binkert could have been one of those seventh round picks if the Falcons had kept them instead of trading up for Russell Gage. But again, the point is, I don't think that guarantees him a roster spot. And I think this will be a fun battle to watch. One of the things I noticed watching Grayson from last summer is that he doesn't seem to handle pressure particularly well. And I do think he has a better arm than Binkert. I think his, you know, probably accuracy wise, that's probably a wash. So I do think at least one of those boxes Grayson checks better than Binkert, and we'll see if the other two boxes, who sort of winds up being the more productive of the two in this preseason and training camp. I think, you know, as I said, I think because Grayson has operated in NFL offense at least during the preseason over the last three summers, and you know, the several months he spent in Atlanta on the practice squad, his grasp of this offense, his ability to pick up this offense, should be significantly ahead of what Binkert's is, and he should be ahead of the curve at least early on. But you know, that's going to be the interesting thing to see if Binkert can be a little bit of a prodigy and show up and prove that he can be a guy that can come in right away and win a potential roster battle, a roster position, as well as a practice squad role. As I've said on previous episodes, I think if Binkert does make the roster, it will be as the 53rd player. I think, you know, it's probably inevitable that the specter of injuries will loom over the Falcons at some point this summer and force them to have to adjust who they have on their final roster to sort of deal with those injuries. And so I think it will be easy to sort of push a third quarterback who's really a long-term developmental prospect off the roster and onto the practice squad, like a Kurt Binkert. But I do think if Binkert does come in and play extremely well, then, you know, and the Falcons are basically worried that he won't clear waivers, he could still wind up making the team despite that. As I said before, I think, you know, the more you watch of Binkert last year at Virginia, I think the less optimistic you are of him. You know, the first two games I watched of his were like his two best games last season, against Miami and Boise State. And if you know, from what I understand, he also played really well against UConn. So if you watch those games, I think you're going to come away very impressed with Kurt Binkert and really like his potential. But I think if you watch any other game, as I did, you're going to come away and be like, oh, he's just the guy. And I think, you know, the issue with Kurt Binkert really is going to be which player shows up. Is it the guy that in 25% of his games was really outstanding and looked like a solid mid-round developmental quarterback that might have, you know, low-level starting upside? Or is it the guy that showed up for 75% of his games last year that was just sort of a camp body, fourth arm that you bring to camp, but not a guy that you really have too much invested in for the future? And so obviously I think, you know, you do the math on that, you know, he's probably three times more likely to be one versus the other. But again, sitting here, you know, now in June, which one of those guys shows up, who knows at this point. So I think, you know, the winner between that battle between Grayson and Binkert will be the number three quarterback. Whether the Falcons choose to keep a number three quarterback on the roster, I think it's doubtful at this time, but as I said before, it's possible purely as like the 53rd guy on the roster. So it does seem that the Falcons are going to keep a third quarterback on their practice squad at the very least. So I do think with Binkert, I don't know, I think Grayson is still eligible. I probably should have double checked that before I started recording. I know Binkert is eligible for practice squad. I want to say Grayson is also eligible because I feel like most of those years in New Orleans, he was on the bench. He was on their roster. But yeah, so one of those guys should make the practice squad is basically what I'm saying. So that's really it, guys. That's all I have to really discuss about the Falcons quarterback position. We'll be coming at you later this week with the running backs. You know, I'm not going to, I probably won't combine running backs and fullbacks together because I have a lot of thoughts on fullbacks. And you guys know me. I will devote a full episode to a fullback. It probably won't be as long as this one, but it will certainly be at least 15 to 20 minutes of good, solid fullback discussion. And maybe I'll pad it out with something else. So if you guys have any questions, if you have any additional thoughts on the roster battles, if you want to try to convince me, you know, foolishly try to convince me why the Falcons need to cut Matt Schaub, because for some reason, I don't know, it's weird to me. Of all the players to hate on the roster, and I use air quotes when I say hate, but all the players to be like, this guy doesn't belong on a Falcons roster. It's a, Matt Schaub's a weird one to me. But we'll see what it is. And we'll see how it goes, guys. And that's your quarterback summer preview. If you want to provide your feedback, of course you can. I'm on Twitter, @FalcFans. If it's podcast related, just let me know in the tweet. If it is podcast related, just go ahead and send it over to the show's Twitter handle, Locked On Falcons. Of course, you can hit me up on Facebook at Locked On Falcons. LockedOnFalcons@mail.com is the email address. You can leave a comment at LockedOnFalcons.com or FalcFans.com, where the show is posted daily. If you want to get in on a future fan talk, of course, you can leave an email at LockedOnFalcons@mail.com and let me know. What your contact information and what your availability is in the coming weeks, and we'll see if we can try to get you in at some point in the month of July, August, and maybe even September. So we'll see how that goes, guys. And until then.
You are Locked On Falcons, your daily Atlanta Falcons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.